Okay, the Olam requested some discussion of more of the meaty materials on Pesach, so we thought that we could discuss how to kasher for Pesach, and this actually is relevant for much of Yeridayah. You see, when we kasher Caleb, the Torah tells me, basically, kibbo'ol kapolo, that the way something absorbs iser is the way it will shoot the iser back out. And this appears in Parshas Matos, at the end of Melchemes Midyon. The Torah writes, Achas ha-zoha v'sa-kesef, es-han-choshes, es-ha-baris, es-ha-bdil, v'sa-ofores, kodobah she-yobo ba-esh, tavir ba-esh v'toher, ach v'mei nida yischato, v'chol ha-shelo yobo ba-esh, tavir ba-moyim. The Gemara says that Dovah she-yobo ba-esh, presumably that means if it absorbs the iser in direct fire, so then, in order for the iser to come out, ta'avir ba'esh v'taher, you need to use a direct fire to get the iser out. Kashering through direct fire is called libun. Libun is described by the Rishonim, what is commonly called libun chamor, as being hot enough that nitzotzos and nitzin himenu. It's hot enough that sparks begin to come out of the item. Now, if you are trying to kasher stainless steel with a blowtorch, sparks will never come out of it. It's going to be impossible just because the metal is tempered in a way that sparks will never come out. But if it's not tempered metal, if you ever go outside and you see the men like using a blowtorch on a fence or something in the neighborhood, you see the sparks are coming out all the time, that is libun chamor, that is ta'aviru ba'esh v'tahir. That's classical type of libun. That's the Yerushalmi's definition of libun chamor, that nitzotzes nitzin hemenu. The Bavli's definition of libun chamor in Avodah Zarah towards the end, all these sugyas at the end of Avodah Zarah. So the Bavli says what it means for libun chamor is not that the nitzotzos come out, but rather libun chamor, according to Bavli, is that it removes the outermost level, the outermost layer of the metal. But effectively, it's going to be the same thing. That's around 850 degrees Fahrenheit. The lundus of libun is that it is sarfo bimkomo. Whatever iser was there gets burned. The iser gets totally destroyed. That's the din of libun chamor. Some of the Rishonim have a different definition of libun, which is called libun kal in common parlance. Libun kal, the pashtus operates with the same lumdus as libun chamor, but libun kal basically says that the only temperature you need is kash nisraf. Kash nisraf is the temperature that straw would burn. That means the Rishonim say, if I shoot fire at this side, would the straw burn on that side? Would the straw burn on the opposite side where the fire goes? What's the temperature that straw burns at? So Rabbeinu Gugol Hagoyin Dehakadai basically tells us that straw burns at around the 420 some odd degree Fahrenheit range. 451 is famous, 451 Fahrenheit, 451, is a famous book about burning paper. Paper burns at a slightly higher temperature than straw. So the pashtus is that you can kasher with libun kal, if libun kal suffices, you can kasher al yedei 450, certainly. This was actually Nogel Maisa this year in the Heights, because some of the buildings in the Heights, 666 Wadsworth, currently does not have gas. They have not had gas in about 8 months, 9 months or something. It's been a difficult situation. So the landlord gave everybody these little plug-in ovens that they use to cook with, toaster ovens. Now, toaster ovens are disasters on Takasha for Pesach, no? Because you're not going to be able to get Nitzaitis Nitzin. To get 850, ain't no chance you'll get it. The oven will buckle beforehand. And to get the oven to 450, yeah, the oven gets to 450, but that would rely on libun kal. And the shaila is, can you rely on Liban Kal for kashering for Pesach? That's something that we'll discuss in a few minutes. So far, so good? I happen to be a very big Mekel Kayadua, so that for people like me, although I should say that like when I spoke to someone in the OU about kashering these toaster ovens, he's like, why don't you just get them to buy new ones? Toaster ovens are not that expensive, about $60, $70. It happens that some of the people in the Heights are not wealthy. And even $60, $70 is money. You know, sometimes we think $60, $70 is not much. For some people, it's really, it's a big deal. Okay. So what we have so far is Dabar sheyavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh. That means libun, and there's a machlokes harishonim what libun is. V'cho asher lo yavo ba'esh ta'avir ba'mayim means that we can kasher something, kibol ol kach polto, if it absorbed iser. Right, Mechames Midyan means it absorbed Isser. If the way it absorbed the Isser was al yaday water, for example, it's not a frying pan. Frying pans absorb directly from the Isser, no? If you fry, especially if you have like a non-stick frying pan, mamish absorbs directly. But there's another way of absorbing in a pot. In a pot, the iser, if I cook a piece of chazer in my pot, so the chazer goes through the water into the dofne hakli. So the way I get the iser out is also through water. That's what we call hagala. Hagala means that you insert a pot into boiling water, and the water has to be, the Taz says it's an absolute requirement that the water has to be male resicha, it has to be boiling. The boiling point of water at sea level is 212 degrees Fahrenheit. If you live in Denver, so the boiling point of your water is going to be like 185 or something, no? In a pressure cooker. So this is a lumdisha shayla, is the din of mala resicha that the Taz says is an absolute requirement. Does that mean mala resicha? Does it mean temperature of 212? Because it's shayich that a pot could have become treif in New York, and I want to kasher the pot in Denver. No? It's possible. Am I allowed to do that? But I assume that's not considered hechsher, because it's a lower temperature than the iser came in. So generally speaking, or a seer lachatz, the poskim speak about pressure cookers, no? A pressure cooker is not only a person that has like emotional issues. A pressure cooker is also literally a pressure cooker, right? Is a pressure cooker, how can you kasher one of those? Right? It's not going to get, it's going to boil before 212. So, these are discussions. What about something that became treif, al yedei, oil? Oil boils at a higher temperature than water, correct? So, can I kasher it with 212 degree water when it became treif at 270? Naniach shekein, whatever the temperature is. All of these shailas have to be flushed out, but most poskim feel that the temperature that's necessary for hag'olah is mala resicha, whatever reishim is good enough. And whatever Reish Chaim is will kasher even if it became treif at a higher temperature than 212. Right? So if I could kasher oil, also, I think that's the standard approach. If you look, oh, I brought it to my seat in the base mentorship. I forgot to bring it into shir today. There's a sefer called Hagalah Askelim by Rabbi Cohen. He wrote like 9 million halachos for him. So in the Hagalah Askelim book, in the Hakdama, he has an arichos on these types of questions. They are very interesting in lomdus, but I think lahalacha most assume that all we need is mala resicha. So here's the issue. Davar sheyavo ba'esh, tavir ba'esh. Anything that became treif directly through the fire. So to kasher it, I need limon. If it became treif through water in the pot, I kasher it with hagoma. What about a spit? Right? What's a spit? So, those of you who ever went to a luau, or whatever they have in Hawaii, where you cook the pig, I once had a student over here who told me that his brother
was getting married in Hawaii, and he decided to go to the wedding. It was a whole conversation because he actually was a ger, and his brother was non-Jewish, and he was marrying a non-Jewish girl. He decided to go to the wedding anyway. And at the wedding, the mamish had a luau. They had like a pig roosting around on the spit. It's like it's mamish, the most trade thing you could imagine, with the apple in the mouth. It's like a big schuss to have one of those. So you have a spit. What do you have to do to kasher the spit? So the Gemara of Avodah Zarah asks a stira. So for Avodah Zarah, the last Mishnah says that the shpud and the askala, a shpud is a spit and askala is a type of frying pan. So the Mishnah says that you do libun. Correct the Gemara, but the Gemara in Zvachim says that we kasher a frying pan or a spit with hagala. We kasher it with boiling water. So the Gemara answers that, you know what, there's a difference between hetera bala and yisura bala. If it absorbed iser, you kasher it ayde libon. Again, if it absorbed iser, ayde direct heat. If it absorbed iser without water as a barrier, right? Deep frying, halakhically, is not absorbing directly. Someone just asked me the shaila beforehand about deep fried matzah frying, no? What bracha do you make? Think about that one. Deep fried matzah bread. Does it say it was matzah? Was hamoitzi? But it's deep fried. Is that considered bishel? That's motzi midei afia? Or is it nachla bishel? Right, that's a sugya of chavitza. Very complicated sugya in case of mevarchim. But the fact is, the Gemara has a stira. Our Mishnah Avodah Zarah says that the way I kasher my shpud is ayidei libun. Yet in Zvachim we say that you kasher the shpud ayidei hagala. That's a stira. And for the Gemara, if it's isura bala, if it's a pig, it's something that's mamish treif that goes into the spit, you need libun. If it's hetera bala, the Gemara in Zvachim is talking about kodshim. Kodshim is absorbed in the pot or in the spit when it is still kosher. The only thing is that it becomes nosar later on, depending on whether it's kosher kalim. At some point it becomes nosar, right? So it becomes nosar later on. But the moment of absorption, the moment of bliya was hetera. So by hetera bala, by kosher al yidei hagala. Even if it's a spit. As I stink in Gemara. Hetera bala is hechsher ayidei hagala. Awesome. Gevaldik. Hey, beautiful Gemara. This is no gala maisa, no? Sometimes you get a shayla. Someone calls you and they say, my frying pan, right, is supposed to be a pariv frying pan. Why do you have a pariv frying pan? I have no idea. But you fry a lot of fish. You're supposed to have a pariv frying pan. And what you did is you fried some chicken in your otherwise pariv frying pan. And I heard that I can't kasher my frying pan, the frying pans are expensive, what do you do? So what's the answer? How do you kasher a frying pan that's supposed to be pariv, and it became fleishig? It absorbed the flesh directly in the frying pan, but the answer is... Dun, 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 dun. Anyone? What? It was hetera bala, it's much more in, so therefore you kasher the frying pan, ayidei hagola. Frying pans often can't handle libun, no? It's gonna, especially if it's Teflon, it's going to get ruined, get destroyed. But Hagala could for sure handle. So I take my frying pan, and I stick it into a larger pot of boiling water, and it becomes kosher. Alternatively, all the Rishonim, even those Rishonim who assume against Hagala's mind, even those Rishonim hold that what we call libun kal is not dino to libun, but libun kal for sure is dino to hagala. So therefore, I could take my oven, turn it up to 450, put my frying pan in the oven, and right, my fleshy frying pan becomes pariv again. Miracle of miracles. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch has a bigger kula. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch paskins that if I have a milchik eno benyomo frying pan, and then I fry chicken in my milchik eno benyomo frying pan, Zach the Alter Rebbe, that's also hetera bala, no? The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch paskins that's what hetera bala. By the way, this is any rabbi needs this trick up his sleeve. because this can mamish save frying pans 90% of the time, unless you're using onions. It's very rare that it's going to be mamish ben yomo. If it's eno ben yomo, the shah is, can you be mitzdarif winas laila in this case? That's already more lumpish for the guys who are in the shirin derideya, right? That's already something that we could discuss in detail. But the fact is, if I have a milchik eno ben yomo frying pan, and then I fry plashiks in it, it's also hetera bola. Hetera bola means, there's no such thing as libun, ever, if it's hetera bola.
Well, libun, is libun kal equivalent to hagola?
Libun kal is at least equivalent to hagola. It might even be equivalent to libun chomer. The Hagolik Tzmaimini passes libun kal is equivalent to libun gomor, but many assume it's napa. Well, chala pachas, it's like hagola, so it helps. So I have a milchik eno ben yomo frying pan. I fry fried chicken in it. Kasher ayde hagola. It just saved my pan, right? Because hagola, the pan can handle hagola. So far, so good.
Not the chicken.
What? Not the chicken.
Did you say the chicken?
Do I say? Well, the chicken's going to be kasher anyway, because it's a eno ben yomo milchik frying pan. Eno ben yomo doesn't change up my chicken. Right? You might sound bad on Orthodox and give these kulas, but it's preparation of Shulchan Aruch. Right? Eino ben yomo doesn't shape up my chicken.
isn't it a minhag b'chol tefutz as Yisrael that we ask of it anyway?
No.
Even in Eino ben yomo, no.
I think the minhag is that we do what it says in Shulchan Aruch.
Okay.
Right? You do what it says in Shulchan Aruch? I don't know. It says in Shulchan Aruch, get kasher. Huh? Yeah, everything is supposed to be. So now, the shaila is: what about chametz on Pesach? Is chametz called hetera bola or isura bola? The Gemara that speaks about hetera bola is talking about besar hakarbanos that becomes nosar. At the moment it was absorbed, it was kosher. It becomes treif later on. Chametz is kosher now. I just ate chametz 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, whatever it was. Right? Chametz is kosher. So the chametz is hetera bola. Me'idach, chametz is usur all year round in the mikdash. No? The Torah says that I can't have, right, lo se'ofe chametz. Right? That there's an isur of chametz in the mikdash all year long. So one could argue that chametz is called isura bola. Unlike Noisar, that the Shas Habliyah, it was mamish kosher, there was no shame Noisar at the Shas Habliyah, there is a shame chametz at the Shas Habliyah. It's just that the Zman doesn't allow the chametz to be usher. So the Rishonim discuss whether chametz is called hetera bala or isura bala. A huge discussion in Rishonim. Basically, there are two shitos. Right, some hold it's Isura Bala, some hold it's Hetera Bala, and Shulchan Aruch seems to contradict himself regarding the status of Chametz on Pesach. Now, let's just go slowly. Pesachim Daf Lamed tells me that originally Ravina felt that he should get Nusakinin for Pesach. Sakina de Pischa, that's the sugya in Pesachim Daf Lamed. Do you need to get new knives for Pesach? So Ravina originally felt you should get new knives. Then the Gemara basically says, Hilchasa, that idi v'idi beroschen, that you can kasher the knife and the handle of the knife. Tosis quotes this over here. Sakini de Pischa, Tosis quotes it, Hilchasa idi v'idi beroschen, right? Meaning that we kasher the knives, ayyidei hagala. Why do I kasher the knife, ayyidei hagala? So the Rishonim have two mahalchem, why we kasher a knife ayde hagola. If you read the Tosfos slowly and carefully, you realize that there are two totally different mahalchem. One mahalach is, the easy mahalach is, that knives of Pesach are hetera bola, because it absorbed chametz, right? What's my concern? My concern is that I used my knife face to cut a calzone. No? Remember, we pass in that Dover Gush has a din of a kli Rishon, right? So
calzone is mamish chametz, so maybe I used my knife to cut a calzone, so it became chametz stick. Ayidei kli rishon. But right, if it's a tera bala, it's not absorbed directly. Right, if it's a tera bala, you could still cash it ayidei hagala. Right, you don't need any libun. Alternatively, the other mahalach that the Balei HaTosfos say is to why the sakinim of Pesach require hagala, not libun, is because we follow Rov Tashmishai. Rov Tashmishai's yisod as follows. If you ever go to Golan, and I strongly recommend that you go there, the food is very good. If you ever go to Golan, so they have these things of shawarma. And the shawarma is going around and around and around. And there's a fire on one side of the shawarma, no? So it's about like a big chunk of an animal. Yeah? And they cut the shawarma off with a knife. So they're cutting it off directly with the knife. Usually use a big knife to cut off the shawarma from the rack of shawarma. You cut the shawarma up directly against the fire. Most of the time, when I use a knife, I don't use it directly against the fire. Sometimes I use a knife directly against the fire. Most of the time I don't. If I follow Rov Tashmisho, what that tells me is, you know what? This knife, mistama, if it was used, if I have chazer, let's say instead of a kasher shawarma, you have a pig going around and around and around. So maybe I use the knife to cut a little bit of pig off directly against the fire one time. But most of the time when I cut chazer with my knife, or most of the time when I cut treif, whatever I'm cutting with the knife, most of the time, I'm not cutting directly against the fire. So Rov Tashmisho of the knife is not in a libun sort of way. The Balei HaTosfos have two suggestions how come knives require Haggadah. One suggestion is only knives for Pesach require Haggadah, because Chametz is Hetei Rabbala. The other suggestion is that no, maybe the chametz would be Yisura Bala, whatever, but it's a knife. Sometimes you use the knife on, again, I don't know a seer of where you have chametz going around. I'm not creative enough to think that like chametz is going out directly against the fire. But most of the time, you cut the chametz or whatever you cut it, right, not in a libun sort of way, not with a direct fire. It's on your day like a kli rishon or the like. Oh, so occasionally you use it in a libun sort of way. We'll follow Rov Tashmisho. That's the other mahalach in Tosfos. But there are only two mahalachim in Rishonim as to why the knives of Pesach require Haggadah. Either because chametz is hetei rabola, or because Rov Tashmisho is al yedei Kli Rishon, not al yedei the fire. Those are the only two mahalchim. Yes, sir. So Rov Tashmisho means as follows. Since most of the time I use the knife, it's not al yedei libun, it's not directly on the fire, I'm not sure when I used it within the last 24 hours, whether it's al yedei the fire or not. If I know for sure I use it against the fire in the last 24 hours, of course I need libun. But I don't know. Ve'keli she'eno ben yomo is only osir midrabanan gezira eno ben yomo atu ben yomo. So memela I could follow Rov Tashmisho. That's the other mahalach in the Rishonim. La halacha, the Rishonim disagree as to whether chametz is called hetei rabala or yisura bala. Rashi assumes that chametz is called yisura bala. No, I didn't give you the Rashi beferish because the Ritva speaks up Rashi clearer than Rashi spoke it out. But Rashi basically says that chametz is called isura bala. That's the shita of Rashi. The Rabbi Nutam basically says that no, the chametz is really called hetera bala. No, the Farish, Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. The other Rishonim split. The Rambam shita seems to be the chametz is called hetera bala. The Rambam says I could kasher the sakinim in a kli rishon. That means he treats it like hetera bala. The Rambam treats chametz on Pesach like hetera bala. Shulchan Aruch seems to have a stira on this nekuda. In Tuf Nun Aleph, Shulchan Aruch paskins that the shputin askalos require libun. And the libun has to be achiyu nitzotzos nitzinehem. It requires libun for the sparks to come out, libun chamor. That means that Shulchan Aruch is assuming that chametz is isurabala in Tuf Nun Aleph. In Tuf Nun Beis, however, Shulchan Aruch seems to assume that it's hetera bala, based on a different part. You see, there's a principle in Yerideya called Nat Barnat de Isura versus Nat Barnat de Hetera. Nat Barnat means that if I have secondary infusion of taste, right? I'm not going to ask the Yerideya guys to explain this to everybody because I'd make you dizzy. But Nat Barnat, secondary infusion of taste, means that let's say I have a fleishik plate and a piece of fish goes on the fleishik plate, a hot piece of fish. So that's tam sheni of fleish in the piece of fish. Fish and fleish becomes treif because it can lead to tsaras. We're not dealing with that kasha now. Right? But the fact is, you have, the Gemara has a case of fish on the fleishik plate. No? That's a classic case of naparnat. So in the din of naparnat, right, if it's not by nat to hetera, if it's a fleishiga plate, kosher fleish, and then fish goes in the kosher fleish, fish goes into the plate that has the flavor of kosher fleish in it. So the din is that not by nat to hetera is going to be mutter in terms of that you're allowed to eat the fish with milk and salad dressing. Zot v'shayla v'kara, mutter l'afa v'kutach. Because it's not by nata hetera. Right? Flesh into plate. From plate into fish. So then, can I eat it with milk and dressing or not? Not by nata hetera, it's all okay. Not by nata isura. Again, we're not speaking about halacha now, but the Ramah has his chumriz, whatever it is. But now we're just talking about Medina de Gemara. Not by nata isura. Let's say I have a treif plate. A mamish treif. The guy used it to cook ben yomo within the last 24 hours. The guy put pig in this plate. Then I put a piece of fish on the plate. So I can't eat that fish, no? It's not by nat, the isura. Right? Tam rishon into the plate. Tam sheni from the plate into the fish. I'm not allowed to eat the fish. Not by nat, the isura. So Shulchan Aruch is bothered by a kasha. How do I ever kasha kelim? Because every time I kasha a kelim, I'm boiling up hot water so the iser will come out. Great, wonderful, beautiful. How do I do that? At l'chaleira, the iser will come out and the iser will trafe up my water. And then I have a trafe water that goes back into my pot. So how does anything ever become kosher? So there are two approaches that are taken. One approach is that you only kosher something that's engel ben yomo. Once it's engel ben yomo, the flavor that comes out is nice and gone. The other approach is that no, I can kasher ben yomo, providing I have shisha. No, if I have a huge pot and I put one fork in, right, so the shisha can then get, so that's going to be okay. Right, that's the other approach. Kashering for Pesach, do you have to worry about shisha? You have to only kasher eno ben yomo, kalim, and that's the shayla. So Shulchan Aruch writes that kashering for Pesach, I don't have to be choishish for all of these dinim, for the requirement that's eno ben yomo or for shishim, providing I'm kashering b'shas heter chametz.
Right? Heter chametz means until Erev Pesach, like the fourth hour, whatever it is. Until chametz becomes usher, I don't have to worry about all these rizikashim. I have a certain person who I am related to, who every year decides to forget to kasher for Pesach until the last moment, and she always calls me with this kasher. Like every year, I hope she's not listening to the tape. Every year, she calls me with like, this kasher, like, until what time can I kasher? Hey! Okay.
Some people are like, now Shulchan Aruch asks that the shbud of Pesach is, requires libud. That means chametz is iser. Yet Shulchan Aruch paskins that before Shah Chamishis, during Shah Revi'is still, so I don't have to worry whether the Kelim are B'nai Yoima and whether I have Shishim, right? That's in Tufnun Beis. I don't have to worry about that because Shulchan Aruch is assuming that it is Hetera Bola. So we have a stira in Shulchan Aruch as to whether Chametz is Hetera Bola or Isura Bola. If you hold Chametz as Isura Bola, so then you always have to be Machmir to kasher, Eino Ben Yoma only. No? If you go to Breuer's Hechsher Kalim, I think they have one on Wednesday night and one on Thursday or something. You go to Breuer's Hechsher Kalim, so they always ask you, before you want to put something in, have you used it in the last 24 hours? I remember when I used to go to Shar Yoshev as a kid to kasher with my father. So, Reb Moshe Dov Stein, Zichrono Levracha, was the posek in Shar Yoshev. He used to pour, he would pour ammonia into the water that he used for Hagola, because he wanted to make sure that maybe someone is telling you that the keli is Eino Ben Yomai and it really is Ben Yomo. So, Ayudei the ammonia, it becomes Nosen Tamufgam automatically. Right? That's what he did. Shulchan Aruch has a stira. The Mishnah Brura was very, very religious. So the Mishnah Brura paskins that, you know what, even though Shulchan Aruch says that before Shah Chamishis you could kasher a keli that's Ben Yomo, right? Mishnah Brura says, don't do that. That's what they do in Breuers. They tell you, even if I'm kashering Wednesday night, make sure it's not Ben Yomo. I ask them, but state in Shulchan Aruch, right? If you don't have to worry about Eino Ben Yomo beforehand because it's called Hetera Bola. So they say, right, Shulchan Aruch, right? The Mishnah Brura paskins that we treat chametz like isur bala straight up. That's the psak of the Mishnah Brura. The Bir Halacha and Tuf Nun Beis passing straight up, never kasher a Ben Yomo Keli. Okay. Now, when I want to kasher my knife for Pesach, what should be the din? Usually, for Pesach or Machmir, we treat like Yisur Bala. Yisur Bala would mean that your knife requires Libun. But the Gemara says it doesn't require Libun. Why not? Because even if I hold that a knife is Yisur Bala by Chometz, but I follow Rav Tashmishai, and Rav Tashmishai, right, would mean that I'm not worried I mamish used it on the age, on direct fire. So therefore, right, a knife should only require Haggalah. That should be the din, no? But finish on the Gemara. You can't argue with the Gemara. Gemara is Judaism. The Gemara is the famous that knives require Haggalah only. Magen Avraham writes in Tafnun Aleph, and that you really are not, you don't follow Rav Tashmishai, Magen Avraham says. You don't follow Rav Tashmishai. Yechoshish from me a Tashmishai. And therefore you should do Libun on your knife. Right? In other words, I have two Chumras. Chumra 1, that I treat Chametz like Isur Bala. Chumra 2, that I treat, that I don't follow Rav Tashmishai. Reb Kiva Eger jumps up and down, spits wood and nickels, and there's a beautiful essay on this in our friend, the Megillah Sefer. He points this out, that Lamaisa, Reb Kiva Eger, is basically asking a kasha. It's a bottom Reb Kiva Eger, I give it to you. And he says, the fear in the estate, what the yisod of the machloikis is, whether you need libun or not. Then there are two approaches why sakinim require hagala only, don't require libun. Either rov tashmisho or chametz is called hetera bala. Im kain, the last three lines of Rabbi Akiva Eger, chad minayhu muchach. Ida azulim the basar rov tashmisho, ida mikra hetera bala. Umisveka didina beishita seyel kanon lechumra, dimikra yisura bala, began lazim basar rov tashmisho, mizal psakid ramah, vim kain hacha basakinim mutaba hagala. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that the Magen Avram, who sounds like he's matzrich libun on the sakinim, is just against the Gemara. The Mishnah Berurah, for some reason, paskins like chumra, paskins that we're going to treat the chumetz like yisur bala, and the Mishnah Berurah paskins that we do not follow Rav Tashmishai. Very difficult. The Chayyur of Kiva Eger is right. It's against the Gemara. And when I gave Shirim on this last year, I thought that maybe there's a Taisus who has a connection within the Gemara, not for now, a way of preempting Rav Kiva Eger's Kasha, but the Chayyur of Rav Kiva Eger is right. This is Nogei Lamaisa with what we started with my ovens, no? How do you Kasha an oven in general? So, if you open Rabbi Eider's book on Hilchos Pesach, page 139, so he points out that Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that ovens require libun chamor. No? Rav Moshe, see, what's going to go on in an oven? In an oven, let's say I am cooking chametz. So the steam from the chametz will go up and become nivlai in the dofnei ha'oven. So, Rav Moshe says, you know what? The steam of the chametz has the din of chametz directly going into the oven. And therefore, the oven can only be kashered al yidei libun chamor. And therefore, you need either a self-cleaning oven. By the way, some of the newer self-cleaning ovens don't get as hot as they used to get. We used to say that with a self-cleaning oven, everything is gevaldik. And when you solve all of Judaism's problems, the self-cleaning oven, because it used to get to like 850, no? Now, they're trying to save energy. So the newer self-cleaning ovens can self-clean in the 700 some odd range. It might not be Nitzotzes Nitzin at that temperature. If you have like a new oven manufactured in the last couple of years, yesh lo ayin whether it is libun chomer. But Rav Moshe felt that the way you kasher an oven is al yedei libun chomer. And therefore, Moshe says, if you have the standard landlord special, like I have in the Heights, so I can't really kasher for Pesach at all. And Moshe says what you should have is a box inside your oven, an oven insert, and on Pesach you cook in the oven insert. I was very frum for many years, and I had an oven insert in my oven. My wife hated it, because the oven insert messes up the temperatures. Because there's another barrier between the heating element. So if you're supposed to cook the roast at like 350, inside the box it might only be 325, and it messes up the temperatures. These things matter for cooking. Okay. Fine. Well, this year we actually have a new stove. We got permission from the landlord that in our laundry room we now have an oven. Also, so that we're going to be using here at Zesha. Oh, so that is Rav Moshe Shita. Rav Aaron Kotler's a friend of Rav Rocha felt that I kasher an oven al yidei hagala. Rav Aaron felt that l'maisa, the steam that goes up, is not dino ke chametz going directly in like a frying pan. He says the steam from the chametz is dino like water of chametz, so it's ayyidei water, so therefore Rav Aaron felt that you can kasher ayyidei libun kal. And Rav Aaron, by the way, felt that even if I buy an oven from a goy, and the goy was cooking mamish treifis in the oven beforehand, the way I kasher the oven is, right, ayyidei, what we call libun kal, which is the equivalent of hagola. Because he says, you know what? It's not dino ke iser going in directly. It's dino ke iser going in ayyidei a liquid barrier. A pizza oven, where your mamish have the pizza on the oven itself, Rav Aaron would say requires libun chamor, if you have treifis on the oven directly. But Rabbeinu Aaron, it's Aryeh Bezeah. Bezeah, says Rav Aaron, is not like the Isser is going in directly. Rav Salah Peitshev had a different approach. The Rav Zichrono Livracha felt that you could kosher the oven for Pesach Aryeh Day, turning it up to 450. But for Sha'ar Isurim, you can't. Because the Rav felt that Chametz fundamentally is Hetera Bola. The Mishnah Berurah is Machmir to create like Yisur Bola. But Me'ikar Hadin is Hetera Bola. Aye, it's not a Shalom. The Shpudin require Liban. That's Damazoya Chumra by the Shpudin, the Rav said. And really, Chametz is Hetera Bola. That's the position of Rav HaRishonim. If that's the position of the Rav HaRishonim, Chametz is Hetera Bola. So therefore, I can kasher for chametz al yidei turning the oven up. But a hagavah, which Liban calls the equivalent of, that works. But if you buy an oven from the landlord, the Rav would not allow you to kasher by turning your oven up to 450. It's only going to help by chametz.
Before Shabbat,
right? Speak louder.
Before Shabbat.
Before,
you have to do that before.
Oh, yes. After Shor Rabbis, it becomes Isser, right? But before Shor Rabbis, Chometz is called the Tera Bala. So I want to kasher my oven now. The Rav would say, just turn it up to 450. Okay, Belina, there maybe tomorrow we'll continue. There's more lumdus to say about this. So now we should have a mincha.